The documentary film Crazy explores a conflict over who has the right to decide how to medicate a person diagnosed with schizophrenia. The documentary centers around a man named Eric in Madison who wants to change his medication because he says it's causing him side effects.
The police handcuffed him to a chair and got him to take 2 milligrams of risperidone.
If coercion is necessary to get him back to that point of stability, then that's what's necessary.
Eric is too sick to be able to decide whether the medication will help him or not. In most mental commitment cases, that's the end of it.
Lisa Zumwalt joins us now. She produced and directed the documentary Crazy. It's her first feature project. She's worked on films for National Geographic Television, PBS, BBC, and the History Channel. Lisa, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Your film brings out the tensions between the rights of society and the rights of an individual when it comes to mental health care. Can you tell us about the man at the center of this tension? His name is Eric, and he's from here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Right. Eric, when I met him in 2011, was 27, super bright, genetics major, very shy, very personable, very honest, and very principled.
And the tension comes out in that Eric does not agree that it's in his best interest to take the dosage of medication that he's being prescribed. And his father is a physician, wants to get involved as well. But they run into a conflict with Dane County. Can you tell us about that conflict and who's at the various sides of this battle?
Right. So Eric was diagnosed when he was 19, diagnosed schizophrenic, and he was, took on traditional treatment, which is basically antipsychotic medication, and he was compliant for about 8 years. In 2011, he became frightened that he was suffering a common side effect of antipsychotic meds, which is tardive dyskinesia. It's a nervous system disorder, and it can be damaging, and it can be permanent. He was on a low dose, and he decided to go off his meds. Sometime later, he was found on a second-floor balcony and talking to himself, and police decided that he was a danger to himself, and doctors agreed, and he was placed under involuntary commitment in Dane County, which means that he's going to be treated with antipsychotic medications, whether he wants to be treated or not. And he was put on an extremely high dose. I think his father said something like 10 times the dose that he had been on, and he didn't like it. And so that began a battle between him and the county over what medications he would take and how much he would take. And that battle went on for some time. And that's really what the film is about.
And this is not just Eric and his father. There's also a legal aspect. There was an attorney involved. Can you tell us about some of the core issues that your film tracks as this got mediated over the course of time?
Right. So Eric's decision to go off medications or to go on a low dose, even though he was court-ordered to take medications, thrust him into a series of conflicts, and one of them was legal. Eric was probably very lucky in that he had a family member who was able to afford to fight some of these issues out in court. Generally, those things don't happen. But Eric had signed an advance directive, which said that, if he was considered mentally unfit or unstable, that these are the wishes of how he would want to be treated. And those wishes were not being addressed. And so Eric and his dad went to court to try to get those wishes enforced. And that's a scene that we see in the film in which the judge explains to him that because he's under a commitment order, the commitment order trumps any wishes that he may have. That's significant because in our country, anyone and everyone gets to make their own medical decisions, particularly if they have an advance directive. But it falls into a gray area in some places with advance directives. So that was one area of conflict that we see.
So when the court orders Eric to take that medication, is that order meant to be in perpetuity or how long? What's the statute of limitations there?
Well, it's a little bit up to the judge and the psychiatrist. Generally, I think these things go in something like 3-month cycles. But Eric was under ended up being under commitment until actually for a period of years. What's interesting is that a judge can decide that that somebody will be medicated whether they want to be treated or not.
And when someone is diagnosed, as Eric was, to be a danger to themselves, what freedoms does that person have to give up along the way?
Right. Well, they're going to give up some of their constitutional rights. I mean, we're talking about the right to determine where you live, the right to determine what's going into your body, you know, what medication you're taking, what treatment you're getting. These are, I forget which exact amendments there these are located in, but they are their basic constitutional rights.
We're talking right now with Lisa Zumwalt, producer and director of the new documentary film Crazy, talking about a young man named Eric with schizophrenia who had wanted to control his medication, came into conflict with the courts who said he had to take his medication. And going forward from that point and looking at some of these tangles about, you know, where Eric's rights end, where societies begin or the courts begin, there has been this prevailing narrative that if people with mental illness do the right thing, that is to take their prescribed medications, that everything will be okay. And in this sense, looking at it from that sense, how did Eric's case shed light on that kind of cultural narrative that we have?
You know, it's so complicated. I wish I could just tease it all out for you quickly. I can't, and that's why I made a film. But I think that some of the things I learned while making the film was that, you know, I also believed when I started the film that if people just took their meds, they'd be safe and so would we. And what some of the things I learned is that meds work for some people, but they don't work for everyone. They're not a one-size-fits-all solution. And in fact, that's something like 3/4 of people who are on antipsychotic medications will stop taking them within 18 months, mostly because they can't tolerate the side effects. So the drugs work really well for some people, but they don't work for everybody, and I think that's important. The another thing that I thought was that mental illness was, you know, pervasive. It's not. It's mostly episodic. I didn't understand that people that were diagnosed had tremendous self-awareness. I think that's important. And I think another thing to think about is, you know, I think we need to talk about forced treatment. You know, does it work? You know, is it necessary? Because it take away someone's fundamental control and choice is basically disempowering. And the question is, does it work on a practical level? But also, is that a good idea?
When you talk about that element of self-awareness, there are psychiatrists out there who say that when you are someone who is suffering from mental illness, so you might not have the judgment to know whether you should be off your medication. You might not be the right person to make that call. How did that end up playing out in this particular story of Eric?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a very gray area. You'll hear that argument made a lot, and it was made in Eric's case that, you know, he wasn't on his medication, so therefore he couldn't be making, quote-unquote, good decisions. And the flip side of that is that people who are on medication or who are diagnosed with severe mental illness have what they call lived experience, right? They know what it's like to be them. And I'm sure you'll also hear many family members that'll say, forget it, you know, they just need to be on their meds and that's all I want to know about it because they really don't know what they're talking about, you know. So it's a very conflicted area. But one of the things I learned is that people with severe mental illness have a lot more self-awareness than I thought they did. They have a lot more to say about mental illness and mental wellness than I had ever understood before. And I think it's well worth our time to check it out.
And you've had experience, obviously, working as a filmmaker in many other areas, but you were very close to the action this time and something that was very emotionally fraught and had some very tangled issues involved. What was it like working on this film for you?
Well, I mean, as a filmmaker, as a storyteller, it was just fantastic because the story was, you know, full of conflict, which is what you want for a good story. And And yes, it's true. I respected Eric a lot. He's a very, very honest person. And I felt that he always told me the truth whenever it was happening. So I cared a lot about what happened to him. But Eric made mistakes, too. You know, everybody made mistakes. The county made mistakes. Eric made mistakes. It was just a tremendous story to work on. And it was very rewarding, I think, because ultimately, no matter what I wanted from the story, I felt that I had to serve the story and just tell the truth, of what was happening. And when you're working on a subject like this, that becomes a very good honor to have.
And you started working on this film back in 2012, so fast forward 5 years. And how is Eric doing today?
I'm happy to say Eric is doing absolutely great and has been for a while. He managed to come up with a solution with his doctors that worked for him and returned to a state of wellness that allowed him to graduate from college with a degree, get a job in a software company, work in a peer respite center, which is an alternative treatment center for people with severe mental illness. And last summer he got married. So I would say things are going just great.
And Lisa, before we let you go, can you tell us when your documentary might be released to a wider audience?
We're working on that now to see what film, you know, where we're going to be premiering and which film festivals, and we're talking to some distributors, but I believe we'll be releasing in February of this year.
Lisa, it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lisa Zumwalt is producer and director of the new documentary film Crazy, which features a story based here in Wisconsin, in Madison. She's been a writer, producer, and editor on National Geographic and the History Channel.